You tend to miss the very details. And that's how we are in life. We steady moving, but we fail at paying attention to the details. It's the small details. In fact, Jesus says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. And so it's important that we allow ourselves to be governed under the Spirit of God versus have church, because we know how to do that very well. We know the program back and forward, but we don't know how to flow with the Holy Spirit. And so my assignment is to make sure that we are governing ourselves so he can have his way in the service. Because here's the thing, I don't want to come here feeling like I never got nothing. I don't want to be a part of something if I ain't being fulfilled. I don't want to be gathering if I don't get an experience. And so Acts chapter 1 gave us a clear picture of what an experience looked like, because that's when the church was birthed. And he told them to go into the upper room. And he says, make sure you are all on one accord. Because he knew one day he had to leave him with something, and he knew that he would ascend. So he had to leave him with something, but he left them something very tangible, the Holy Spirit. And he left them with a sound that they can be able to identify with. So everybody can be able to identify with each other versus not knowing I'm not covering over my sister or my brother. I know who I am in the spirit realm. And so that's what God wants us to be able to identify who we are in him. And so if I'm looking in the mirror, I need to see a reflection of who I am in him, not in you. Because I can't operate out of your gift. I have to operate out of the gift he gave me. That's my language. And God has a couple of love languages. But when you begin to learn the Holy Spirit's language, then you can begin to tap in some things that you've never tapped into before. Because now you're going from realm to realm, and you're going from precepts to precepts, and you're going from one level to the next level. This is why there's a word called difference. Oh, come on, somebody. All right, so let's turn with me to John chapter 1. We're celebrating 3 years, just in case you all don't know. Thank God for my first lady. I appreciate her so much. Thank God for you guys. Appreciate all of you all who serve. And I'm not going to call no names out, because you know one thing about people, what they do is, Pastor, you left me out. I got a choice word for you. But Pastor don't know, I got a word for you too. Thank you all for serving under the capacity you've been serving and the blessing that you've been serving with. Thank God for 3 years. 3 years. We raising this child together. So we figure, what do this child need? Everybody got something to offer this child. Now, if you ain't got nothing to offer, then go ahead and sit down. Take a seat. Sit on the sidelines. But we're going to raise this baby properly. Make sure this baby is nurtured. Make sure that everybody is understanding their talents and gifts on how to nurture a child and nurture a baby. Now, we got to watch our language, because the Holy Spirit gave us a language, but we can't just come out with our own language and give it to this child because you feel it's conducive for you. No, that's not how we're raising our child. I don't know what you're doing down the street, but we're raising our child differently here. Yeah. Hallelujah. God bless you, GP. I see you in the back. Amen. Let's turn to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now, in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God. Genesis 1 and 1. John 1 and 1. It's a correlation, because it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was. Now, I would be a bit concerned in a sense because when you talk about God in the past tense, then it makes me believe he's not living now. Because in the beginning was God, Genesis 1 and 1. I'm going to go back again to John 1 and 1 because in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. Now, if you look at John 1 and 1, if you notice the capitalized, the Word is capitalized in Word, which means they're pointing out some emphasis in that word, because in other words, it would be lowercase. But this was case sensitive, which means it shows some importance of this word. In other words, John was trying to say is, I'm highlighting that it's just not any word, but the word was with him and the word was him. So in other words, God says, I'm not past tense, I'm present. Oh, y'all not feeling what I'm saying. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was. But the Word is as well. And the Word is forevermore as well. Watch this now. I'm the past, present, and I'm the future. I'm showing you my past because this is my origin. This is my beginning. But John dropped down to verse 14. He says, but behold, we beheld his glory. He says, the word was with him, which means when he said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, he was then wrapped up in let us. God is not just past tense, he's present. Because what happens is with some of us that we're still living in our past. But here we are in our present, but we're still in our past. So how can God bless you properly if you're still in the past? When his word says, I'm in the present. In Psalms, he says, I'm your very present help in a time of trouble. So that lets me know he's not just in the past, he's my present. And if he wakes me up tomorrow, then he's my future. Oh, man, come on, man. So in other words, God's word is never ending. It's always moving forward. That's why he knows how to separate bone from marrow. Y'all heard it? Y'all just heard it. He knows how to separate bone from marrow. What? Look, in other words, he says, if you notice, he says, my word is sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Now, we understand how sharp a sword is. But if you move the S, you got the word from sword. Okay, y'all not getting this, sir. Let me say it again. If you drop the S from sword, you got word. He's saying, let me compare sword and word. My word is sharper than that sword. Oh, shucks. So not only I'm your past, I'm your present. Man, move out of my way because I'm your future. But if you're still in your yesteryears, then I can't be in your today. If you're still dealing with regret, pain, unforgiveness from the past. Somebody have not gotten over someone else's death. Hurts, but it's the past. Let's be a little here. It's the past. Even though it hurts because I'm in the present. But if you let this word get in on the inside of you, it could be your present help. But you not allowing me to be a benefactor in your present. Because you stuck in the past. Oh, no. In other words, okay, some of you are still in 2023. And God says, I'm in 2025. The number five means grace. We talk about grace, but we're not actually applying the grace. Look, grace don't move. We move from it. In other words, grace is like an umbrella. If we are under the umbrella, it's a form of covering. When you move outside of your covering, you're no longer under grace. Because what you thought, that I can lean to my own understanding and I can deal with this on my own. I don't need grace. And so what God does, he says, I'm not going to lift my hand. I'm going to keep where I am because I don't move. Because I'm present. Oh, man, I tell you, we just got to get to a place in our lives that we can get out of our past. You still harping over the past, but you asking God to do something for your future. Which means if you in the past, your prayers is in the future. Something ain't lining up here. And so what happens is that we have to line up on what we're saying because it's the word. When we pray, don't we pray word? Shucks, man. I'm praying, God, you blessed me with my new spouse. That's future because it's not present. But if you in your past and you still hung up on the old relationship, then how can you go to the... Because he made you feel a certain way. Oh, I get it. But until you get over Bobo, you can't get with Boaz. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with me. Man, I mean, in other words, what I'm saying is with me. Only time it separates is because I'm sending it somewhere because I have an assignment where my word needs to go. But my word won't leave me too long because it's going to come back and say, here you go. It's almost like you are training your dog. When you tell that dog fetch, that dog goes get exactly where you threw it at to bring it back to you. That's what the word of God does for us. When we understand the power that it goes beyond the surface, man, in other words, you can't get to a, we got to get to a place where we're not praying the surface. We got to pray the deep because deep calleth for deep. Man, God, that's what David said. He said, deep calleth for deep. In other words, he says, what you see on the surface, you don't have no idea how I beat my Goliath. I didn't beat him on the surface. I beat him because I had something deep on the inside of me that was lingering. I was just waiting for my appointed time. Because I was overlooked back shearing my sheep when my other brothers was getting all the respect. The cute looking ones. And so I'm in the backside. No one was thinking about me. So when God told Samuel, I need you to go and anoint me a new king. No one had no idea it was that ruddy boy in the sheep, taking care of sheep. Samuel being a prophet, which means he was a seer. A seer means I can see past the natural form. But that day he couldn't see very well, SK. He was on the surface. So he was looking at stature and looks and how, what are you a VP or what bank? I like you because you give me security. God says, that's not the one. He goes to the next one. God says, that's not the one either. He was running out of brothers. He said, well, wait a minute. Do you have any more? Yeah, I got one more. Send my word back there to the sheep. David was overlooked, just like some of us here. We are overlooked. So therefore, that's the part where we got to learn to make sure we tapping into that word. Because John tells us he beheld this glory. The word was present, and he was the present help in the time of trouble. Shucks, man. Okay, let's go back here. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Thank God for verse 14, because some of you who still in your past, he says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten Son. He ain't in my past, Deborah. He's my present. And so I'm going to forgive what that person did because it did it in the past. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to transform my thinking and get into my present because he's getting ready to catapult me to my future. I'm not hanging in 2023. I got scars to prove it, but those scars got to heal because I'm placing his word on that scar. Yeah, I got a broken heart, but it won't last long. Oh, shucks, man. I know I'm going to hear. See, y'all don't understand. When I'm speaking this way, I'm speaking directly to her with the word. Because the word is going past the surface. It separates bone from marrow. Y'all got to get this here. What I have with me is my sword. I can play around with it and drop the S, but it's still the word. Either way, I'm deep. And I'm coming to you just the way I feel. In other words, I live what I believe. I live what I say because therefore it becomes potent in your life. In other words, as he's trying to say, are you ready to dive deeper than what you've been doing? Oh, okay. No offenses here, but we're swimming on the surface because it's comfortable. The Lord says, I know you can't swim well, but just go ahead and dive deep. I got you. I'm trying to tell you, what he's saying is that my hands is waiting for you. You can't go no further than where I can catch you. In other words, I can't go no further than my 3 feet. God says, I'm ready to go 6 feet. No, it's not the grave. Just go 6 feet. I got something on the inside of you that's been waiting and travailing. And see, watch this. What happens is you waiting for somebody else to recognize that gift. But until they solidify, then you feel like you less. No. You always been, because the word was already from the beginning in your mother's womb. It was already set in stone. And so God is like, look, it's not the past. That word is present. Let me get down on the inside of you so I can birth what I want to birth. I need you to go deeper in the relationship. I don't need you to try to worry about getting confirmation from people you hold in high esteem. Because watch this, they still waiting on me too. People we hold in high esteem, they don't, you think they got it. They don't really have it. They fronting. They walking in false pretense because they don't, oh man, I'm gonna get in trouble right now. Even with people with a collar don't believe that he is. They believe he was. Oh, shucks. They believe he was, not where he is now. He's not in my past. He's my present help in a time of trouble. Watch this now. It's amazing how Matthew chapter 9, the centurion man, he's known for upholding the Roman law. But he came to Jesus, knowing the fact with Jesus' reputation, but knowing the fact of his as well. He comes to Jesus. He says, heal my servant. And the Lord says, so, okay, let's go. He says, no, Lord, do not go to my house. My house is not worthy for you to go into. He says, won't you just say the word? That's what he said. Say the word. In other words, you don't need to step in. My house is sinning right now. I'm a man under authority, and I'm a man who tell a man, go. And when it comes, he goes. He goes, Lord, don't come to my house. Don't even waste your time. Just send the word. Send the word. The Bible says when he got there, it was in the same self hour. I believe that man has some insight about this wireless distance word. It had more distance than AT&T. Because it was able to get there in the same self hour. When the man got there, the servant was healed. Jesus didn't have to go into the man's house. He just sent the word. Okay, let me say it this way. The word separated, even though the word was with him. The word was separated for a little while, but when he got back the report, he said the servant was healed. That word was still there. Oh, see, God is not wasting words. We wasting them. We are wasting them based on what we say, because we still in our yesteryears. In the beginning, God created. That's Genesis. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the same was the beginning. And without him, there was nothing made that was made. Jesus, man. I'm in the Word, y'all, just in case you don't understand. I'm in the Word. Look, want to prove it? Let's go to verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14, what it says. And the Word became what? Come on, let's take our time and get this here. I want to make sure we got this clear. In the Word, it became what? In the Word, it became what? In the Word, it became what? Okay, so that means it's not past. Okay, so, well, Pastor, what are you going to say? He was ascended. He ascended. Yeah, he ascended, but then he leave someone? Then he leave the comforter? Then he say he should bring all truth to your remembrance? And that he should, what, comfort you when you need comforting? So he didn't leave them comfortless. He left them with the Word. Because we so hung up on flesh, we didn't get caught up in the Spirit yet. He knew they were so focused on the flesh because they were around him 3.5 years. The most potent time of his ministry. But when he ascended, this is what happens is we so caught up in the flesh, when they go, we don't know what to do. Because they beheld his glory. So that's all they knew. He says, no. I don't want you to get caught up in me. Get caught up on the Word. Because my Word I will leave with you, and you shall have what? Peace. Okay, let me go back here, because some of y'all are missing it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he beheld his glory and the glory of the Holy Begotten Father, full of grace and truth. So I would have been a little concerned with John 1 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 1, because I don't want to serve a God who's in the past. That's frightening, because the way the economy is, that I don't need a past God. I need a present God who's going to go into the ditches with me and bear me up for keeping my feet against a stone or kicking my foot against a stone. I need an angel to be assigned to me. So if he's in the past, how can he be assigned to me? Because God's Word is not expired. Jesus. You go to grocery stores, you see meats and produce and certain things. You look on the back on the date and they'll tell you, you got this amount of time to use it. I go in here and I'm still looking like, wait a minute, there's no expiration here. It was, but it is, and still is to come. Man, I don't know how to break this down to you so many ways. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you, for your people who so used to be in church, God says, get in the experience. Let me give you my present help. Now you can fake the funk on a nasty dunk, but I know you don't get caught. But see, people's faces, they'll tell you they ain't got nothing going on. Oh, yeah, those be the ones. I ain't running about what your face look like, because I see your spirit. And boy, you've been boiling and you've been talling. Let's turn with me to Luke chapter 4. I'm gonna give you this. This is awesome. Let's turn to Luke real quick here. Let's go to 5. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5. Let's hit the first 4th verse. Man, I'm so blessed. What about you? Man, I love this word, man. When I feel faint, man, I go back to that word and he just re-energized me. Man, this word, man, I'm telling you, man, it's like I put a energizer battery in the back of me. I just feel very energized, man. This word, man, will keep you going and going and going and going and going and going. Yeah, but if you're doing some things without the word, then what do you do? You left your battery home. Go back, take that piece back out your back, put that thing right back in so you can keep going. Anyway, let's go to John chapter, Luke chapter 5, verse 4. It says, when he had stopped speaking, referring to Jesus, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, this is Simon Peter, those of you know him. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, what did he say? Help me. At what? Okay, so people ain't reading their word. That's the problem right here. See, what happens is people are depending on the leaders to give the word. I'm teaching you how to go fishing. Jesus says, I know you know how to fish, Peter, but let me teach you how to fish. Peter had experience of fishing. He was a fisherman. If you read the first verses before that, you find out Jesus got on his boat. I know you're great at what you do, but God has got you under a leadership for me to be able to point you in a direction. You're great by yourself, but when you get around other people, you become a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. One building ain't good by itself. You can stay lit, but you all right. Let me put a posse around you. Now we walk into something. So he goes here. He says, when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch into the deep and let down your nets and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Hopefully we could get this song together in one group. Nevertheless, what did he say? Oh, shucks. Wait. How many people don't have their Bibles? I mean, we got all these electronics right now. I need everybody to be in unison. Just act like we're singing a song. Just for a moment. Let's go back to verse 4. I'm going to repeat it. I'm going to rewind it. I'm going to repeat it. I'm going to rewind it. I'm going to repeat it. And I'm going to rewind it again just to make sure that you understand where we're trying to go here. Okay, what did he say here? He says, when he had stopped speaking, referring to Jesus, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your what? At your word. At your word. Oh, okay. Wait a minute. There's still some people trying to catch on. Let's do this again. We okay. We got to learn how to be patient with people because what happens is when we move too fast, there's some people who just don't get it. So we got to break it down and make sure that everybody's moving on one accord because the Bible says he could not bless them unless they was on what? One accord. Verse 4. When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch into the deep, let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word. Oh, man, I wonder what happened after that. See, what we don't understand is that it's instructions in the word. Remember I said the details? Now, what happens is with us, and because we grown and we think we sexy and grown, you can't tell me nothing. Because I got experience, right? I got intelligence, right? I'm very educated, right? So therefore, you can't tell me much, right? But Peter is telling Jesus, the master, in this conversation, we've been out all night. We caught nothing. Mind you now, that means he says, I did a full shift and I never received nothing. Jesus says, go to the deep. What did I just tell you earlier? Go deep? Okay, I just want to make sure you got that. Okay, so he says, go to the deep. What happens is with some of us, we're comfortable with the surface, so we stay near the land. It's okay, because I'm comfortable here. I'm not going to drown here. Jesus says to Peter, I'm not asking you for your experience. I'm asking you for your obedience. Go into the deep. I'm going to show you how to catch some fish. You thought you was good with the bag of chips with the dip, but let me show you how to really catch some fish now. Go into the deep. Lord, we've been toiling all night. I already pulled her overnight. You know I got a wife. I got to go home. I said, go back to the deep. See, I'm glad Peter caught himself. Nevertheless, it sounded like Jesus said that to the Father. Not my will. Nevertheless, let your will be done. Peter said, at your word, Lord. The Bible tells us in the next verse, they had so much fish, their nets were breaking. So much so, they had to get some other help, Cassie. In other words, God says, I'm going to send reinforcement. Look, the fishes wasn't there till Peter got there. Okay, in other words, what I'm saying to you, if you would have went to the same spot before Peter got there, it wouldn't have been there for you. Okay. Wait a minute. What I'm trying to say to you is that what God has for you is for you. Even if somebody beat you to the punchline, it wasn't for them. Because it was a divine appointment based on the word. The word was timely. Go to the deep. When he got there, it was so much, they broke. They had to pull boats, and the boats began to lean over because of the weight of the fish. I think Jesus was giving Peter a reenactment. He says, now you're not going to only just catch this fish. I'm going to make you fishers of men. See, we want prosperity, but we don't want the assignment. We want the blessing, but we don't want the responsibility of what it takes to be blessed. And so Peter, he says, at my word, at your word, Lord, at your word. She said, I don't want you to just focus on the monetary things. I need to make sure that you understand the assignment that's going with the blessing. If I'm not mistaken, that's probably the same reason Jesus says, go ahead and pay my taxes too, because we got the overflow. We can continue on that mission. Matter of fact, you ain't got to go fishing for a couple of months. I believe God want to get us to a place where we ain't depending on the job. Oh, yes. Because his instructions that's going to come with what's up. See, God, what God does, let me tell you, he's a finicky something God. I mean, God sometimes like, God, what are you doing here now? You testing me right now, God. You testing me. But God will pull something from you that you was comfortable doing. Because you wasn't obeying the first set of instructions, which was in the word. So he'll pull the familiarity from you because he know you ain't going to ever get out of it unless he pull it or snatch it from you. I believe Peter, if he didn't do what he said, his family wouldn't have ate that night. But he had a boat. He had expenses. He had to make sure he had expenses. So God told him, Jesus told him, go into the deep. I'm telling you, if y'all don't hear me, what I'm saying, y'all looking at this as a church. I'm telling you, if you can get this word, you can have an experience. The Lord is going to share some things with you, and he's going to give you specific instructions. It may not make sense, but you better not go to him with your intelligence. So what? You got a degree in that area. He's not asking you, Peter, what your experience was. He's telling you to go to the deep. I don't care if you've been there all night. So what? And what happens is sometimes when we're so fatigued from the day's work, the Bible specifically says in verse 4, he labored. Here's this now, labored. When we labor, it ain't the same when God favor you. Because here's, you see, I worked an 8-hour shift, maybe 10 to 12, depending on the night I felt. I didn't reap no benefits. But then here, I'm already fatigued and the Lord's telling me to go back. He didn't say go back to the surface. He says go back to the deep, which means now I got to take that same boat and go into the mist where there's nothing. There's nothing around me when I go into the mist. That's what deep is, sis. That's where the deepness is. It's in the mist. It's not right in the surface where everybody else is partying. Everybody else having a good time. God says, go into the deep. See, what happens is if I was just to walk into the deep with just with my feet, it's going to be able to overtake me. And I'm not going to be able to see anything. Because I'm now mingling with the people in the sea now. I can't see nothing because I'm in the deep. So now, Lord, I need you to cover me now because I can't see nothing. The Lord says, this is where I become your eyes. Because he know you can't see beyond that. He's never going to ask you to do something that you're not capable of doing. That you're not capable of doing. That you're not capable of doing. If he's asking you to do it, it's because he know you're capable of doing it. I know they're trying to get, but I got to get in this mist because now I'm getting in the deep now. See, what happens is sometimes the front line get what they need, but then the back line stays in the back because they feel comfortable being on the back line. But I don't mind going to the end of the line because the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So I'm going into the deep. Go into the deep. Go, I'm talking to you right now. Sis, look at me. You go into the deep. Go into the deep. Go into the deep. It's frightening, but go into the deep. I'm telling you, it's rewarding. Just keep going to the deep. I don't understand, God, will you? This don't make any sense. It's not supposed to make any sense. It's not supposed to be A, B, and C. It's not supposed to be in sequence. If the Lord is removing something that you're comfortable with having, he's doing it for a reason. Because you are getting ready to enter another level of an anointing. You can't get certain anointing until you go into the deep. And, but as long as you stay on the surface, then you're a churchgoer. But if I go into the deep, then I'm an experienced man. I got some experience in this. Churchgoers don't get benefits. They don't get benefits because they stay on the church side. They stay on the popular side. They get called on most of the time with no anointing just because they give the most money. Let me call them. No, I'm going to call somebody who don't give me nothing because I see something in them that will give something later because God is all about a pending transaction, not always the here and now. I'm going to the deep. What about you, sis? I mean, you ain't going by yourself. You got other people around you who don't mind going with you, but they got their own journey. Here, watch this now. When Peter went to the deep, didn't it say it was other boats next to him? Which means he had to call his counterpartners. Hey, come on, man, I can't take all of this. You could be able to feed your family out of my obedience. That's what you call many times over, sister. Many times over. Many times over. I could do it many times over. I could do it many times over. I could do it many times over. See, because if you where you need to be, others going to get the benefits for because you where you need to be. Imagine Peter decided that he wasn't going to go. Then the other people wouldn't be able to get fed themselves. So now everybody is getting disappointment. That's why God had to call a leader like myself and First Lady. Get yourself from out of New York, New Jersey. I need you to get to Atlanta, Georgia. And I need you to do it in 22 days. Because there's people that's going to depend on the anointing I'm placing upon you in this city. Many times over. Many times over. Many times over. The Lord wants to bless some of you many times over. I said some of you because some of you ain't ready to go in the deep. But if you stay around this anointing, you might become more interested. You realize you ain't getting filled properly where you are. God is looking for ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And you want to do it many times over. And some of you don't understand why he's subtracting by addition. Subtraction, he's trying to get your attention. So if he want to back you up a little bit, let him back you up. Every now and then, we all make a wrong turn. That's why they call it U-turn. Back up. Find out why that subtraction is happening. Because you ain't seeing what you need to see. Go into the deep, Peter. Because what I got waiting on you is for you and for others. Now, if they would have beat you there, they wouldn't have got what you had because I told you to go at my word, at my word, at my word. So that word wasn't was, it was now. In the beginning was. But John verse 14 says, but we beheld his glory and the word became flesh. I see you. Minister with me. It became flesh. And so that word was sent into the deep. Just waiting for you to get there. Which means, First Lady, it's an appointed time. If I instructed you to go somewhere, you don't be like, Abba, Abba, Abba. No time to pray in the Holy Spirit now. You should already have been praying in the Holy Spirit because when you get the instructions, you should be ready to go, SK. You already got all the tools you need. It's just time for you to go. But as long as you keep looking in the past, Lot's wife, you're going to be turning to that pillar called salt. Man, I'm preaching better than you shouting. But I understand. When you come around somebody who knows how to hang around God, they will give you specific instructions. He didn't tell him to go left, go right, go up, go. He says, go into the deep. That's simple, isn't that right, Cass? Go into the deep. For a moment, the flesh kicked in. I ain't trying to do all that right now. You got me burnt. Man, you got me twisted. I'm Peter. Then you just tell me upon this rock, you're going to build my church and the gates of hell should not prevail. Why should I obey now? I got part of the word, but I ain't get all of it. It's in the instructions. I don't understand why I'm making these steps, but I got to do it because I got at your word. Your word. When I get there, everything is going to be where I need the overflow. How you go from 8 hours to nothing to 1 second of the overflow? Don't make sense to me. Tell me, sis. Tell me, sis. Tell me. Does that make any sense? How you labored 8 hours or 12 hours? Didn't say how many hours, but we said all night. So let's just assume 8 hours. Let's assume. But in the second that he told you to go, it ain't gonna take you long to get to the deep. It won't, as much as you think. It won't take you too long to get to the deep. It seems to be exhausted hearing the words. I got something to prove to you. Over in Deuteronomy, it says that the Bible says the Israelites could have gotten to their promises in 11 days, but they took 40 years because they didn't want to obey the word. He didn't ask you what you thought about it. He's telling you to do it. It's not our thoughts should step in on the opinion of it. It's about the obedience of it. It's the instructions and the obedience. And we got to stick to it like light on rice. Meaning, I can't let anybody in my life during this project and during this assignment that God has instructed me to do it. Because when I get ready to go into deep, my surface friends ain't going to be able to hang out with me because they ain't ready to go deep. They're not even going to understand what it means to go deep. So I can't really confer or confine in them. I got to go to someone who understands what deep means. David, what does it mean? Deep calling for deep. Oh man, I feel good right here. How many of you ready to go deep? It sounds good, but it also sounds exhausting. But depending on your mindset, it determines the outcome, how smooth it can be. But if I don't let my church going friends get in my way with this deep instructions, then I'm gonna be just fine. Because here's what's gonna happen is when you get deep and you get repercussions from that deepness, they're gonna come around wanting to be your friend. But meanwhile, they never wanted to get deep. They want to stay on the surface. So what they're saying is, I want to stay on the land, bring me the fish. And that's the difference when God says, sit all them people down. Because you know what? They didn't come for the word. They came to eat the fishes and loaves. It was so many of them. But where were they when he was getting crucified? Father God, help us. I mean, on oh Lord, y'all, we can stand on our feet. We know we got a 1 o'clock. Now, hopefully, y'all can join us at our other event space where we're gonna serve dinner in honor of our 3 years. But God is awesome. We are ready to go into the deep, man. I'm trusting God and I'm believing God for what's not even in the account currently. That's what deep means. But if I let somebody to tell me that I will never receive it, then I'm like, you don't know deep then. You don't know God's word. That means you're still in your past. You're still in your grandmama's church. You're still in mama's church. How about God says, establish me on your own? Which means come out into the deep where it's not comfortable. Jesus, man. Oh, I'm ready to go into the deep. I want to see the fishes many times over. Whatever your fishes means. Everybody got different meaning of fishing. I got so many levels of them. I look around, I see fishes. Somehow it just happened. How did it happen? Because I obeyed God's word December 2nd. And we decided that, hey, we just got to do it. I'm going to cry like hell. I'm going to cry like hell, but we got to go. We got to go. Because we got to obey the instructions based on the word. It's not about my past. If you let an unforgiveness and resentment hold you, you're not going to understand what deep means, see? I got to let this go. I got to let go of the past because it's holding me back. We're not in second grade no longer. You're in a school of PhD. It's time for the big leagues now. You thought you knew God, but you're about to know him on the next level. Many times over. Many times over. We thought we knew who God was, but we only knew him from a frame of reference of who served him before you. You don't ever need to learn the God you serve through your pastor. Because even he has limitations. Depending on his relationship. But I need to be around somebody who don't mind going deep when it's not comfortable to go deep. Do you not know your relationships, that confession, that one relationship away to becoming a millionaire requires you to go deep? See, y'all was cool with making the confessions until I tell you the instructions of what you have to do to get there. I'm good being on the surface, Sister K. But if I tell you to go deep, what does that mean to you? Now it's up to you to figure out what deep means. Because if you're waiting on me to give you everything, we're in trouble. I don't need to be around people who's going to be kind of jelly back. I need somebody that I know who's going to fight this battle with me. That even when I get weak, somebody say, Pastor, come on, we could do this. With the Caleb and the Joshua spilling, let us take them. I don't need 10 people telling me we can't. I just need two. Because I'm the third one. If two or three touching the green, then what? I'll be in the mix. I'm making my declaration and I'm keeping it real. I am one relationship away because I'm going deep. I'm doing something behind the scenes that you don't see. So when you see me riding the way I ride, it's because I did something to go deep to get that ride. When you wasn't around, when I was walking on barefoot or going to bus stops in the cold weather, yeah, that's why I got a Porsche, because of that reason. Because I obeyed the voice of God. So you can't worry about how I got there. Let me tell you something on the back end of things. When no one was behind the desert and when it took how long to get trained, no one was there. No one was there about that part. You only there for what you see now. No one was there. And it's okay. Some people's not going to be able to share that type of experience because they can't handle your truth, sis. They can't handle your truth, brother. They can't. Some people are just not ready for that. They don't want to know that you didn't have food on the table sometime. That you was too ashamed to ask your neighbor, can you borrow $10? Mom, don't get mad with me. I know you're probably online, but you remember them days. We just got to keep it real. I need you to go downstairs to the neighbor, knock on that door, and ask them for a box of rice and two cans of Koya beans. Let's keep it real. Because the people don't want to hear that. They only want to hear the goodness of God. But even the diamonds come out of the rough. Son, I need you to go downstairs to 4B, knock on that lady's door, and tell her we need a box of Carolina rice and two Goya beans. No, no, my mom, please don't do that to me. You know I got to go to school tomorrow. Don't do that to me. Here's this note. So you can act like you can't spell it. I want to put the note under the door and run. And just put the apartment it came from. So my face won't be seen. But he'll turn your shame into fame because of his name. Some people needed to hear that story because they just thought I just appeared with a blue suit. Where before I used to have to borrow sneakers and shoes from the neighbor so I could fit in. So I wouldn't get laughed at when my mom promised me something that she couldn't really do, but she wanted to make it happen for me, but she couldn't afford it. And so she had to do the best she can. And there was times I had to go to that first week of school, which is the most impressive time to go. And you want to show off your show off. Knocking on that door. Hey man, I need that. Thank God I don't have to do that anymore. That's the many times over. Because he told me to go fishing. Says, go into your deep. And guess what? I ain't finished diving yet. Because here's the thing about this. Because I'm not selfish, I have to bring your blessings up with it. Because my obedience, y'all get to reap. If you hang around me long enough. Now, just don't be my friend because you can see what you can't possibly occur. Be my friend because you see the vision. A friend that stick closer than a brother. Y'all ready for an experience? You ready to go deep? It's going to show me in a second what you really made of. Some of you already know because I already been in the deep, so I already know where you are. That's the thing about me. You can't fool me. And I don't say that with all this, but because when you anoint it with certain things, you see things that others can't see. I see so much potential here, but what I also see, to be honestly, I see some people who just don't really want nothing. It's hard because I'm watching both sides of the fence. And I begin to see that John 1:1 all over again. In the beginning was. I see a group of was. But I also see a group of present with. But now I also see a group that are in their present, but they're comfortable being in their present. His word, complacent. But I'm ready to go into the future. I'm ready to go into the future, and I don't want to serve God based on my past any longer. It's hurting me. I'm not reaping the proper benefits. So what Peter was doing, in a sense, he was laboring over a past God because of his experience. He was telling Peter, go and serve a present God, go into the deep, and watch what I do presently. I think Peter had enough to hold up his future. If based on what I read, okay, based on what the text says to me, it told me he could have retired. Because if my cup runneth over, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's all Peter did pretty much at that point. And that's what he wanted us to get to, a place where we don't have to work another day in our life if we learn how to go into the deep. Because there's resources on the inside of you you haven't tapped into yet. You have an idea, but you're not quite sure. Some things just don't work right now is because it wasn't time for it. But now it's time to go into the deep. Whether you like it or not, some of you are going to be forced to go in there. It ain't time to drown now. Close your eyes.